VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us today here on Crosstalk on VCY America. We trust you had a good Independence Day and did, as we discussed on the 3rd, as we certainly remember to, first of all, thank God for the freedoms that we have and certainly to enjoy those expressions of celebration as well that took place across the country, as did happen yesterday in Washington, D.C. On that in just a moment. This is going to be a Friday News Roundup day here today, as there's many, many articles and issues that have amassed during this week. Even while many, yes, are taking vacation, I trust you're keeping tuned to what's happening in this nation around the world. And again, our thanks to Lori for compiling so many stories for us. Karen's all set here at the phone set here, and Justin's already in the control room. Bob's on the note-taking side, and so here we go. From FoxNews.com, yes, President Trump did strike a patriotic, nonpartisan, and unifying note during his address at 4th of July celebrations in Washington, D.C., as a massive crowd of attendees avoided clashes despite provocations from protesters. There was a massive crowd gathered on the Lincoln Memorial despite the rain. President Trump later tweeting an aerial photo showing an audience that filled both sides of the memorial's reflecting pool and stretched to the Washington Monument. The president used his speech to call on Americans to stay true to our cause and praised American heroes, including the armed forces and civil rights leaders. There were visuals. There was the flyovers by every branch of the military, a display of tanks and other military hardware. The president rallying Americans before the Lincoln Memorial. Strictly stuck to the history, as he cited numerous tales of valor to weave a story of the American spirit. Truly a patriotic event, though he was heavily criticized by those who are seeking to oust him as president. Townhall.com says that members of the Revolutionary Communist Party burned an American flag outside the White House yesterday, just before a president made his Salute to America speech. Then they threw the flag on multiple Secret Service agents. A veteran grabbed the half-burned flag and attempted to put it out, clearly upsetting the communist gesture. Secret Service eventually used a fire extinguisher to put out the flame. You know, let's hearken back to all this kneeling going down at by players, the football games, Colin Kaepernick leading all this. You know, we were told back then, no, this has nothing to do with the flag, has nothing to do with our nation's military, and I called it a slap in the face to the military and those who have sacrificed much in order for us to maintain the freedoms. But we said, no, it's not about the flag. Well, guess what, folks? It indeed is about the flag. As we have from the Daily Wire, a column that indicates that Colin Kaepernick, who started it all, he was just trying to call attention to the police violence and systematic oppression. He and his fellow kneelers always insisted this was not about the flag itself. Well, in case anyone was ever fooled by all of that misdirection, the truth should now be clear. It was indeed about the flag. It has always been about the flag. As Colin Kaepernick, using his sway to Nike, and Nike now pulling its Betsy Ross flag sneaker even before they hit store shelves. Colin Kaepernick decided that these sneakers that had the Betsy Ross flag on them, that's a version of the flag with 13 white stars in the circle to represent the original colonies. Nike pulled that. Colin Kaepernick saying this was offensive. Well, the Arizona governor, Doug Ducey, and the Washington Examiner reporting this, announced that his state, the state of Arizona, will no longer offer tax incentives for Nike to move to the state after it was revealed that they pulled a new shoe design that featured this Betsy Ross American flag. The governor tweeted out, "Words cannot express my disappointment at this terrible decision. I'm embarrassed for Nike," saying that today was supposed to be an announcement of a major investment with the company in the state. Nike is an iconic American brand and American company. This country, our system of government and free enterprise have allowed them to prosper and flourish. But he tweeted out, Nike has made its decision, and now we're making ours. I've ordered the Arizona Commerce Authority to withdraw all financial incentive dollars under their discretion that the state was providing for the company to locate here. Basically saying we didn't need Nike's money in the state. We're doing just fine. And when we open the phone lines later, I'd like to get your reaction to that issue. First of all, with Colin Kaepernick pressuring Nike to remove these shoes with the Betsy Ross flag on them, the Arizona governor said, hey, we're pulling our tax incentives now for Nike. And then we have the governor of California Tuesday night. This is Gavin Newsom tweeting out that, and this is from DailyWire.com. Gavin Newsom saying, California is open for business, welcomes those that represent the best of our American values, referring to Nike. Nike pulling the shoe, a very unpatriotic decision. And then California saying they represent the best of our American values. It was an interesting, Todd Starnes had an interesting column as it relates to Betsy Ross being an American businesswoman. And it was this lead up to Independence Day that Nike sided with anti-American flag protester and former NFL player Colin Kaepernick. The company pulled sneakers that feature this American flag designed by Betsy Ross. And he comes at it from another angle in his column written by Jen Kearns on his site, toddstarnes.com. And saying, why is this offensive to women? For starters, Betsy Ross was one of America's original feminists. She was a wife, working mother, entrepreneur, best known for designing and hand-sewing the first American flag. A true pioneer, she collaborated with the freedom-loving President George Washington and worked hours into the night, delivered a superb product that was beyond the call of duty for a woman from her time. Ross's unique 18th century design was so well-respected, it stood the test of time and became the blueprint for what has become today's American flag. Like most women, Betsy Ross was so much more than her creation. She was a devoted military wife, a widow to not one, but to two patriotic husbands who lost their lives during America's fight for liberty. As a mother of six, she grieved the loss of not one, but two children who lost their lives to illnesses of that era. She was the ultimate humanitarian caregiver. She took in nieces, neighbors, and friends to live in her small home. She was a trained upholsterer who provided bed linens to the President of the United States, was an apprentice under the nation's top craftsman. That's a very unique role for women at that time, reports the writer. The far left today wants to defame the life's work of an honorable woman who contributed to the fabric of our country. Not only is Nike's response divisive and offensive to women, it's financially foolish as well. Jen Kearns writes that economic data indicates that women are now responsible for $5 trillion to $15 trillion in annual consumer spending. Women will control two-thirds of all consumer spending by the end of the decade, and here they are causing offense to them by removing a shoe from the marketplace that dared to have a Betsy Ross flag on them. Mitch McConnell also spoke out on this. He was not impressed at all with Nike's decision. He said, if we're in a political environment where the American flag has become controversial to Americans, I think we have a problem, he said. But it may be McConnell's closing comment that takes the red, white, and blue cake, reports the Conservative Tribune. He said, I hope Nike releases these shoes or some other shoemaker picks up the flag, puts it on a pair of shoes, and starts selling it. McConnell said, I'll make the first order. By the way, on Wednesday, social media pointed out something to Nike that they either ignored or were unwilling to acknowledge. That fame flag, you know, the one with 13 white stars in the circle to represent the 13 original American colonies, it just happened to be one that was flown at the second inaugural of former President Barack Hussein Obama. Well, the flag comes under another controversy, but this time it's in North Carolina, and this is Camping World. Many of you familiar with Camping World, the camping trailers that they have the large American flag. Well, the CEO of Camping World and its affiliate company, Gander RV, just happens to be a 45-year-old entrepreneur. Doesn't look like a criminal, but he says he's being treated like one after refusing to take down a large American flag at one of his North Carolina locations. The issue is this massive American flag. It flies atop the RV dealership in Statesville, North Carolina. It's right along I-77. The city council says that the 40 by 80 foot flag violates a city ordinance and has imposed a fine in excess of $10,000 for the violation. But the CEO says they filed a lawsuit, but he's not budging. He is a legal immigrant to the U.S. and sees the stars and stripes as an important symbol of American greatness, reports the Western Journal. He also noted that the keeping up the flag is at least the least he can do for the men and women in uniform to whom the banner has important meaning. He said, quote, "I think of all the men and women and the police officers that have protected me and gave me the chance to come here. It's my small way of paying it back. When veterans show up at the stores for the flag raisings and when they come in on Saturdays and do their veteran rides and they weep at the bottom of the flagpole, that's the conviction that I need to say. It's just not going to come down. I would rather go to jail." Well, the city filed a lawsuit 2 months ago. They've asked for a motion to ask the court to have me take it down, he said, and if we don't take it down, I'll be in violation of the court order. The reaction from the city is that I will go to jail. You might call it civil disobedience. From FoxNews.com, President Trump yesterday doubled down on his push for a citizenship question on the 2020 census, promising that his administration is working very hard on this issue, as reports say he is mulling using an executive order to get the question on the census. So important for our country that the very simple and basic "Are you a citizen of the United States?" question to be allowed to be asked in the 2020 census, he tweeted. He also said Department of Commerce and the Department of Justice are working very hard on this, even on the 4th of July. The president on Wednesday said that reports that Commerce had dropped the quest to put the question on the census were fake. This is a news roundup here on Crosstalk Today. In other news, we have this is from FoxNews.com, 5.4 magnitude earthquake struck early today near the same region in southern Cal where a significant tremor hit just a day before, according to the U.S. Geological Survey. The quake was very near the same area. Yesterday, the region was a 6.4 magnitude earthquake along like Los Angeles, Orange, San Bernardino counties, even into Las Vegas transpired. Also interesting, earlier this week, after days of speculation, this also FoxNews.com, an optimistic statements by two leaders, President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, met and shook hands Sunday at the demilitarized zone between North and South Korea. President Trump arrived at the DMZ shortly before 2 a.m. Eastern Time, accompanied by South Korean President Moon Jae-in. And then it was around 2:40 Eastern that the two leaders spotted one another from a short distance apart, walked toward one another. They met, shook hands, briefly walked away, walked across the border, that is, into North Korea before crossing back to the DMZ. The president optimistic that negotiations will be profitable there. We're going to take a quick break here on Crosstalk and come back with more stories, looking at some things going on internationally, as well as what's happening here within the United States as well. We'll be back in 1 minute. This is Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how many stars are there?
Chris, this is the question for which there is no answer. We go out on a clear night and look up, and we only see about 3,000 or so stars with the naked eye, but with telescopes or binoculars, we can see many more. Scientists estimate that our Milky Way galaxy contains over 200 billion stars. And now we can see billions and billions of galaxies, and we haven't even seen the edge of the universe. With every new telescope, we're seeing whole new regions of space full of galaxies. Chris, God told Abraham that the stars in the sky were in essence innumerable, and how right he was. As always, the scientific information that we gather supports the clear teaching of the Word of God, even those truths that are found when we go back to Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, having a news roundup day here today. Much going on this week, and certainly lots of controversy stemming from Nike's decision, pressured by Colin Kaepernick, to remove the Betsy Ross flag. Well, not even to allow it on a shoe that they were going to put out. Great interest in that shoe itself, and caving in to Colin Kaepernick and the hatred for the American flag as exhibited by their decision, and certainly a lot stemming from that as well. Continuing on with some other news that's taking place around the world as well from FoxNews.com, Iran's President Hassan Rouhani warned European nations on Wednesday that Tehran will take the next step in increasing its uranium enrichment closer to weapons-grade levels this coming Sunday if they do not offer a new deal by then, adding that they will increase it to any amount we want. Stay tuned on that issue, as Fox also reports that Iranian leaders have summoned the British ambassador as Tehran fumes over Britain's Thursday seizure of a Iranian tanker believed to be violating the European Union sanctions by providing crude oil to the Syrian regime. British Royal Mariners supported the authorities in Gibraltar in taking the vessel amid evidence that it was trying to circumvent the EU sanctions on the Syrian regime. A senior Spanish official said the operation was requested by the United States. Pamela Geller also reporting that the Israeli foreign minister, this is reported from Sputnik, Israeli Foreign Minister Israel Katz has announced that the Jewish state is bracing itself for a possible military involvement in the escalation of relations between Iran and the United States. From Breitbart, the United States Army War College canceled an event featuring a speaker that has criticized Islam. According to a report by the College Fix, A U.S. Army War College has canceled an event featuring Raymond Ibrahim, a writer who is frequently critical of Islam. The event, which was scheduled to take place on June 19th, canceled after a backlash. A petition published by the Muslim grassroots movement on June 6th demanded that the Army War College cancel the event featuring Ibrahim. Let's tell the U.S. Army War College, if you don't rescind Ibrahim's invitation and denounce his Islamophobic rhetoric, you're not only endorsing anti-Muslim hate, but dangerously nurturing Islamophobia and white nationalism within the military, the petition adds. Breitbart has previously reported on CARE, who was certainly involved in the pressure against this Army War College. That CARE is in 2007-2008 was named as an unindicted co-conspirator in the terror financing trial of the Holy Land Foundation for Relief and Development. That case in turn led the FBI to discontinue its work with the organization. In 2009, a federal judge ruled that the government produced ample evidence to establish the ties of CARE with Hamas, the Palestinian terror organization. United Arab Emirates has labeled CARE a terrorist organization in 2014. That's a decision that the Obama administration opposed. Many are calling upon the Trump administration to further their investigations into CARE and certainly have that designation as a terror organization. Then let's see, CNSNews.com, with CARE's backing, Representative Ilhan Omar is targeting the FBI terror database. Omar and 10 other House Democrats have written to the Secretary of State Mike Pompeo requesting information about how information from the FBI-administered terrorist watch list is shared with foreign governments, including governments with poor human rights records. In doing so, she pointed out that the support on the Council on American Islamic Relations, CARE, sometimes controversial group that has mounted legal challenges against the watch list, formerly known as a terrorist screening database. Omar has quoted CARE National Executive Director Nihad Awad, who said that the TSDB was dangerous enough in itself, but even more so when it's shared with tyrannical regimes. Other signatories of Omar's letter include Representative Rashida Tlaib of Michigan. Pamela Geller reports, apart from the fact that she appears to be a foreign agent, it's illegal from a terror regime. No less, U.S. federal law prohibits foreign nationals from donating to political candidates. However, in an article about U.S. Representative Ilhan Omar, the manager of the Turkish state-run news channel TRT, World's Research Center, Dr. Tarik Cherikawi, encouraged readers to donate to Omar's campaign fund. This is reported by the Middle East Media Research Institute, Memory, M-E-M-R-I. They say the article written for the English-language website of the Turkish pro-government daily, published April 1st, was titled Media Flak Directed at Ilhan Omar, No Surprise at All. At least seven other Turkish media outlets ran the same article in both England and in Turkish. Should be noted that the U.S. federal law prohibits foreign nationals from donating to political candidates. In the article, Dr. Cherikawi wrote that donating money to Omar's campaign fund would be an adequate way of denying powerful organizations the power to censor alternative voices. Well, coming to Phoenix, Arizona, from Jihad Watch, Iranian Ayatollah to address Muslim Congress in Phoenix, claiming Islam guarantees human rights. This is from Iran's state-run news agency. The 15th annual Universal Conference of the Muslim Congress will be held this weekend, July 5th, 6th, 7th, in Phoenix, Arizona, titled Islam, Religion of Humanity. Think about that. What an oxymoron in that title. Ayatollah Abdullah Javadi Amoli issued a statement to the Muslim Congress. He said that Islam is a religion of humanity and guarantees human rights. I wonder what he does with those about striking the necks of the infidels. You know, decapitation, to kill the infidels. That's referring to Jews and to Christians, to non-Muslims. FoxNews.com reports the new president of El Salvador on Monday took responsibility for the June deaths of a father and daughter who drowned crossing the Rio Grande in a bid to reach the United States, saying the onus is on his government to make the country a safer place, one where immigration is an option, not an obligation. And TownHall.com reports, according to Border Patrol agents, pushing adults and children into the river is a new tactic being used as a distraction by smugglers. While agents focus their attention on water rescue missions, they take advantage. Smugglers are often placing children in nothing more than makeshift rafts or on pool toys to cross the dangerous river. On multiple occasions, smugglers have pushed adults and children out of these rafts, knowing that agents will prioritize life while the smugglers swim back to Mexico to evade arrest. Border Patrol Chief Brian Hastings said during testimony in Capitol Hill last week, so far this fiscal year, Border Patrol agents have rescued more than 3,400 people in distress along the border and nearly 2,500 people crammed into tractor trailers. Also from townhall.com, as the opioid epidemic continues to ravage families across America, authorities in Mesa, Arizona have arrested two individuals, including one illegal immigrant, on charges of conspiracy to possess with intent to distribute fentanyl and possession with intent to distribute fentanyl. The Toledo Blade reports that the U.S. District Court in Toledo indicted the two in late June, and after the pair were arrested, authorities discovered the two were attempted to distribute enough fentanyl to kill at least 500,000 individuals. While running background checks, authorities discovered that one was an illegal alien. From LifeNews.com, Ohio may not enforce its new law banning abortions after an unborn baby's heartbeat is detectable, a federal judge ruled on Wednesday. LifeSiteNews.com, the American Medical Association suing the state of North Dakota along with abortion organizations. Why? To stop pro-life laws on the grounds that they force doctors to give what they say is false, misleading, non-medical information to patients. The lawsuit targets a law that requires doctors to inform pregnant women that it may be possible to reverse a chemical abortion passed this year and set to go into effect on August 1st, and another already in requiring physicians to tell patients the scientific fact that abortion ends the life of a whole, separate, unique, living human being. And they're calling that false, misleading, non-medical information to patients? If that's the position of the AMA, I think they better get back to medical school. LifeSiteNews.com, Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy has a message for the state's Supreme Court. And I applaud him for what he's doing here. He said to the court, if you're going to force taxpayers to fund abortions, that money is coming out of your budget. The Alaska Supreme Court has continually ruled that the state must fund abortions, so Dunleavy slashed the amount it has been spending on the deadly practice from the state's judiciary budget. Via line item veto, Dunleavy reduced the budget of the state's courts by $334,700. That's the amount of public money spent on elective abortions annually. Saying that the legislative and executive branch are opposed to state-funded elective abortions, the only branch of government that insists on state-funded elective abortions is the Supreme Court. The governor's office explained of its budget. The annual cost of elective abortions is reflected by this reduction. Thank you, Governor Dunleavy, for taking that action. From Pro-Life Action Ministries, state of Minnesota is a focus here. Minnesota Department of Health reported induced abortions in Minnesota was released this past Monday for the calendar year 2018. The annual report to the legislature reveals that Planned Parenthood increased its reported abortions for the seventh year in a row, despite a statewide decline in abortions. So the abortions in Minnesota are declining, but Planned Parenthood abortions in Minnesota are increasing. Planned Parenthood continues to be the number one abortion facility in Minnesota, representing 6,292 abortions in 2018, which is 63.5% of reported abortions in Minnesota. Think about that, folks. Close to two-thirds of babies who are killed in the womb are done by Planned Parenthood. From LifeNews.com, Kamala Harris surrounding herself with fellow abortion activists in her presidential campaign. The Democratic senator from California recently named New Orleans City Council President Helena Moreno as the co-chair of her campaign in Louisiana. According to the Big Easy magazine, Moreno has a steady record of abortion activism throughout her political career. Well, now it's Oreo cookies. WND.com reports Oreo cookies unveiled last Sunday, a special LGBT edition of its iconic product, urging pride and making people use one's preferred pronouns. The note that came says, we're proud to celebrate inclusivity for all gender identities and expressions. The company, a division of international foods giant Nabisco, wrote in a Facebook post, The Federalist reported. The announcement said that in partnership with the National Council of Teachers of English, the NCTE, we're giving away special edition pronoun packs and encouraging everybody to share their pronouns with pride today and every day. Joy Pullman, the Federalist Executive Director, noted in her column, the NCTE affects millions of teachers worldwide and helped write the controversial left-leaning Common Core curricula. And, folks, I'm not going to have time to get into this next story till after the break, so we're going to take the break. And if you become a fan of the Disney Toy Stories, you're going to be shocked once again, because in Toy Story 4, it's being praised by LGBT activists for lesbian moms appearing in a scene. Back in just 1 minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
Scripture says that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. We're reminded from Genesis that every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. Christ also spoke of impending wars, ethnic conflicts, spiritual deception, famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. It sounds like today's newspaper headlines, yet many people are oblivious to the times in which we are living. In the book, It Could Happen Tomorrow, Dr. Gary Fraser presents future events that will shake the world. He writes of the Great Disappearing, America in Prophecy, the birth of the New World Order, the Islamic invasion of Israel, the Great Deceiver, a global religion, the temple rebuilt, the mark, and the glorious appearing. The book presents both a message of hope to those who know Christ as Savior, as well as a message of warning to those who do not. It Could Happen Tomorrow is available for a donation of $15 or two copies for a donation of $25 by calling VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
It's a news roundup day here today on Crosstalk, and in the story that came out Wednesday from LifeSiteNews.com, pro-LGBT activists praising Disney's Toy Story 4 for including a small but important moment of LGBTQ representation with a scene of two moms dropping off a boy to school, both of them showing him affection. The Gay Times stated in a June 26 article about the scene, quote, "It's a small scene, sure, and it's certainly not the major representation that queer people have been waiting for, but it's still important. This is one of the biggest movies of the year, after all, and will be seen by millions of all ages around the world," it added. Kate Gardner at the Mary Sue agreed that the pro-LGBT moment was not groundbreaking by any standard, but praised the scene as a small moment of normalization. "Here was a major family-friendly film, one of the biggest Disney Pixar releases, and they included a lesbian couple with their son. It's a small moment of normalization, even if it's minor. This isn't a show on Netflix or a banned episode of Arthur. It's a Disney Pixar movie, and it showed two women caring for their son, their child together," she wrote. Well, the film marks Disney's latest effort to push the normalization of homosexuality on children, reports LifeSiteNews.com. Other Disney films that pushed the normalization of homosexuality include the Disney cartoon Doc McStuffins, featured a family headed by two lesbian moms in its 2017 show about an aspiring doctor. It's marketed to preschoolers. Disney's 2017 remake of Beauty and the Beast featured a homosexual subplot where one of the film's characters was refashioned to be homosexual. Disney Channel introduced a 2017 homosexual teen character in Andy Mack. The show was aimed principally at a pre-adolescent television audience. Last year, the writer and co-director of Disney's popular Frozen animated film gave what the Huffington Post called a glimmer of hope regarding main character Elsa coming out of the closet as a lesbian. Disney's upcoming film Jungle Cruise will feature for the first time an openly homosexual character. And now, Toy Story 4. From LifeSiteNews.com, shocking photos with kids lying atop a man dressed as a woman at a drag queen story time. A West Coast public library drag queen story time has evolved beyond drag queens reading pro-gay and pro-transgender books to kids to permitting children now to frolic on the floor and lie on top of a man dressed as a woman. Photo evidence of children having inappropriate contact with drag queen Carla Rossi at Portland, Oregon's St. John's Library last October has been brought to the attention of LifeSite News. The photos are posted on the Multnomah County Library's own Flickr account. They reveal toddlers and young boys dressed in feather boas at the event as well. St. John's Library also has a teen drag workshop to be conducted, scheduled for September 21st, 2019. Children frolicking on top of a drag queen at the library. From the Christian.org out of the UK, heterosexual couples will be forced heterosexual couples will be able to opt for civil partnerships rather than marriage under new proposals by the Scottish government. Following a Supreme Court ruling last year, which found that offering civil partnerships to same-sex couples only was discriminatory, the Westminster government agreed to introduce the legislation in England and Wales. And since we're in the UK as well, here's a story about a gender transition clinic seeing a huge spike in children under 14 that are seeking sex change, reports FaithWire.com. A British gender clinic has reported a massive increase in the number of children seeking to, folks, I help you understand, this is the impact that indoctrination in the education system is having. Now we have a British gender clinic reported a massive increase in the number of children seeking to transition from one sex to another. The most significant surge in demand has come from young girls who are determined to transition to becoming males. According to the British newspaper The Times, approximately three-quarters of those attending London's Tavistock and Portman Clinic for gender reassignment treatment are girls. This is a clinic that is an NHS-funded clinic for children and young people and their families who experience difficulties in the development of their gender identity, and is the only one of its kind in Great Britain, according to its website. There's also been a notable change in the age of those seeking to transition, with some 54% of those referred being 14 or younger. The number of 13-year-old girls seeking treatment rose by 30% in a year to 331. Referrals of 14-year-olds went up by a quarter to 511. The number of 11-year-olds is up by 28%. The youngest patients were 3 years of age, wrote Andrew Gilligan at the Sunday Times. Across all ages, the entire year's rise was accounted for girls. The number of boys referred, 624, was the same as last year. The number of girls, 1,740, or 74% of all patients at the service. We're going to open our phone lines here today on Crosstalk. Our number, 800-733-9829. If you want to comment on any of these stories, or there is much other current news events taking place, again, our number 800-733-9829. Maybe you've got some thoughts on that patriotic display yesterday in Washington, D.C. with the presidents. Maybe you've got some thoughts on what Nike has done on the bowing to Colin Kaepernick, on removing the Betsy Ross flag, a shoe that was out there, and pulling that, and a response that has come now from Arizona and even from California on that issue. Camping World, CEO, they're ready to go to prison because of flying this giant American flag there. Certainly we see much what's going on with Iran right now, and their threat to enrich uranium to whatever grade level they deem necessary or desire, if concessions are not made back to them. Again, our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Let's go to Al calling from Milwaukee. Al, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm calling in regards to what you're talking about, like with that Muslims shutting down that war college, or that speaker there.
Yeah.
I read on a website that in Japan, anyone who practices Islam is not able to own any kind of business, and also in China, I mean, we know they're communist, but they recently executed, I don't know, like 16 or so radical imams, so I'm just curious about when the United States is going to wake up to the fact about what Islam is, you know, and these other countries already know about that.
Okay. Thank you, Al, for your comments. Greg is next in Cincinnati, Ohio. You're on the air.
What's happening, Jim?
Hi there.
How in the world could a three-year-old know what sex he wanted to be at? Get out. Give me a break. That was in the United Kingdom.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, though. It's happening here, too, Greg, because there is mass marketing going on to preschoolers here in the United States. All these drag queen story hours. I mean, you're talking toddlers as young as 2, 3, 4. We just had a teacher in Madison, Wisconsin, come out as transgender and made this video for all children in kindergarten. And now you've got young children questioning their own gender identity. When I don't know that I kind of feel like, you know, like this person as well, because I don't quite feel like a boy. And, so the huge, sway that this is having on preschool children is just horrible. Tell you what, I don't need to have you use language like that, but, Greg, keep that in mind here next time you call. Cher is calling next from Columbus, Ohio, and Cher, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. Basically, we got to just confront the teachers. We got to have our kids tell us what they're learning in school. We got to go up and confront the teachers and the principals and say, stop this. My child was calling my 4-year-old was calling himself queen all the time. I corrected him. I put him in his place. I said, no, you're no queen. You're a boy. And I let him know what he is.
Yeah, certainly we see the impact that it's having, Shira, and we have many teachers and school principals and now even full school boards putting their full weight of authority behind for this kind of instruction to be taking place in the classroom.
Yeah, I'm not gonna have that. This is my kid. They can't. That's communist and fascist to try to control me and how I raise my kid and try to get my kid indoctrinated like that. These are sick people.
Thank you, Shira, for your comments today. Let's go next to Callie from New Lexington, Ohio. Callie, you're on the air.
Yes, well, thank you for taking my call. My comment is, do you think that there's a connection between the explosion of the gay pride movement and some of the facts, like the word sodomite is omitted in the NIV, or that there were homosexuals that worked on the NIV? Because I was thinking that if the church is giving a green light to it, then the schools and the public places like the libraries are going to give a green light to it.
Callie, you brought up a point, and so one of the things that we've seen is a capitulation taking place in multiple denominations across the country, and even those that have been evangelical that are capitulating in this regard. And we've really got to get back to the Thus Saith the Lord and to preach the word as we see exhorted to us in Scripture itself.
Right, and I agree with that, but I'm just thinking because these Bibles are so twisted and pro-gay, and, you know, when you start digging even deeper, like on the publishers and everything of the NIV, you can see how corrupt it is.
Thank you, Callie. Appreciate your sharing your thoughts here today. By the way, I understand that there was even a Queen James version of the Bible that's come out. Rex is calling next. Mora, Minnesota, you're on the air, Rex.
Hi, Jim. Could I read Matthew 18:6 about offenses that Jesus says?
Sure.
It says, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. So I think the influence that the LGBT community is having on children is going to come back to them in a very serious way down the road.
Thank you, Rex, and certainly we have to understand that life is but a vapor. We're only here for a short time that vanishes away,
yep.
But we're all going to stand before the judge of the universe as either savior or judge, and it's critical that we be sure that our heart is right before him, that we stay true according to the principles of his word, and his word gives strong warning against the offense against little ones.
Yep, it does.
Thank you, Rex. Let's go next to Glenn in London, Kentucky. You're on the air.
Yes, Jim. I would love to know the percent, if anybody knows the percentage of these kids that are having these sex changes or whatever, that come from broken homes that don't have a parent, a father figure or a mother figure in the home to sway or at least help these kids. I'd love to know the percentage of kids come from broken homes.
Yeah, I don't have those numbers, Glenn, but I can tell you this, what a sad day it is to see parents who take their kids to, like, the Drag Queen Story Hour events and encourage their kids to participate in it. Woe be to such parents.
Them, the way we can lay it on, and I agree that we all have a responsibility, but a teaching of God starts at home.
Yes, it does.
And spread it abroad. And we're not teaching it at home first, and that's what's destroying our country. I agree with it's our leader's responsibility, but it's our parents' responsibility, too.
Thank you for the call. Up against a break, we'll be back in just 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Weekend Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. Capitalism and Christianity is said to be the source of all suffering and oppression. And in my research recently, I discovered once again articles targeting teenagers to tell them of the scourge of capitalism that included the creation of slavery. Well, in our last commentary, we learned that in Great Britain, it was 12 capitalists, 12 businessmen, 12 religious people that met in a print shop in London in 1787 and began the work of ending slavery, and then Americans joined in. Well, even liberal Professor Henry Louis Gates Jr., a black historian, says, quote, 90% of those shipped to the New World were enslaved by Africans and then sold to European traders, end quote. He points out that there were kingdoms in Africa that were routinely capturing Africans and selling them into the slave trade. But this you won't hear in America's revisionist history.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, and taking your calls on this news roundup day today, 800-733-9829. Richland Center, Wisconsin. Kevin, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jim, I got two statements. One of them is on the homosexual issue, and the other is on the tent issue. First of all, the Lord told me something last week to tell people. It's this: the rainbow will remain, but the sinners and their structures will be gone, same as in the time of Noah, because that's what that rainbow represents, was the erasure of sin by the flood. The other was on the tennis shoe issue. Nike is a name for a Greek goddess of victory, but only Jesus Christ is a victory. And if you go back to those kids that committed suicide were in those Nikes, the flag on that shoe is the shoe is cursed, connected to that to begin with. Mm-hmm. It's connected to the cherubim on the Ark of the Covenant. Those are the wings of the angels, not Nike. You understand that?
Okay, thank you for your thoughts, Kevin. Mike in Sussex, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, Jim. Hey, it says in the Bible that in the last days, as it was in Sodom and Gomorrah, it will be in the last days. And in my 65 years, I have seen things go from bad to really, really bad. This is the end times, and people need to start looking up, because the Lord could come any day now.
Amen.
Thanks.
Thank you, Mike. Let's go to Alan in Twin Falls, Idaho. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Hey, I'm really particularly disturbed by the all-out assault on our youth, on our precious young ones. Yes. I mean, I know I've seen different videos of the story hours by these transgenders, and if you look around the room, you see a whole lot of creepy pedophiles in there, and that should be disturbing to parents.
Yes.
It is. It's ridiculous.
You've got one person down on all fours and acting like a wild animal. I mean, it is bizarre what is going on. People have mentioned it's like being under demonic possession.
And parents sit and clap and look overjoyed by this. It's just baffles me.
Mm. Thank you, Alan, for your call. Donald in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon, your brother Jim. Thank you for taking my call. You mentioned a few minutes ago about the drug thing, your people, telling stories of the children, the way to do. What I personally have noticed with the media pictures I've seen online, in my personal opinion, the drug thing, your characters use way too much makeup on their hair and on their faces. And I think that parents ought to pay attention to that. I personally would not want my children, to see those people, with the kind of makeup on their faces and hair, period.
It's more than the makeup on the face. It's what they are purporting themselves to be.
As well, but, outside appearance, I would object to in a second.
Yeah. Thank you, Donald. We've got Sandy in Milwaukee. Sandy, you're on the air.
Hi. Yeah, I'm driving in my car, so I don't know. Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you fine.
Okay. There's a scripture, but I don't know the verse, where it talks about changing their natural affection.
Mm-hmm. Romans chapter 1. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And, I'm torn a little bit, because we are told to have empathy and compassion on other people.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a very high suicide level within the gay community. And I'm torn between the empathy part and what the Lord is saying about that this is an abomination. And, you know, we're to love the person, hate their sin, right? And so I'm just saying, I know that in the last days, all of these things are coming to pass. And I have a granddaughter and younger people that come over to visit, and several are gay. And they're very nice people. They're very nice. They're very respectful.
Sure. And Sandy, and because we're down to just a couple minutes in time here, I do want to respond to your issue. And certainly, we ought to love others as Scripture commands us to do, but we also are not to be tolerant of sin. It is God in His Word that has condemned the sin of homosexuality. You refer to it yourself in Romans chapter 1. You look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we talk about such will not have a part in the kingdom of God. So it is critical, not only as we should have such a love that we want to warn them that the pathway that they are on is one that leads toward destruction. And so in love, we share with them the gospel message and how they can find true hope, freedom, and forgiveness that is found in Jesus Christ. That is really love. And as we have interviewed, and I'd encourage you to go back to listen to the interview we did with David Arthur, who is a former transgender, who shared that the high rates of suicide is not because of people trying to counsel them out of it. It's because of what they are involved. They're going against nature itself. And so one cannot be at peace within themselves even because they're violating nature itself. And so as David had encouraged to understand, that is, it is love to compel them to come out of that lifestyle. It is a self-destructive lifestyle that is taking place there. And that's so critical for us to know that by showing that true, sincere love, we call them out of such a lifestyle to find the freedom, hope, forgiveness, and true identity that's found in Jesus Christ. Thank you for your call. Friends, our time is gone here today on Crosstalk. I would like to leave you with one story, though, from ChristianNews.net. It's about a 12-year-old boy. And we talked about the assault on young children today. Well, this 12-year-old is taking a stand. A middle school student in Washington State, Everett, Washington. He was twice booted from class for speaking up about his faith. Pacific Justice Institute recently published a video featuring this boy. Attends Evergreen Middle School in Everett. He said, I was at school one day. They were talking about sex education, how it was okay to have sex with the same gender. And I stood up and said, no, that is not okay. You're not allowed to have sex outside of marriage. And it's not okay for you to sleep with the same gender, he recalled. He was asked to leave the classroom the day because of his remarks. He said, I felt angry that they did that to me, but I knew that one day God was going to reward me. In English class on a different day, students were talking about Proverbs, and so he gave a proverb from Scripture itself. Again, he was kicked out of the classroom. They contacted the Pacific Justice Institute for assistance. Their attorneys there sent a letter to the school attorneys, and due to the courageousness and boldness of this 12-year-old boy, the school has since backed down. Oh, that we would have 12-year-olds like this, a young man taking a stand for the Word of God. Our time is gone. Thanks for joining us here today on Crosstalk. I trust you'll be in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching local church this coming Lord's Day. Have a good weekend.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.